That was some music from Mali, which of course is called Mali music, and Molo is the name of the song, means like you. In his book, Two Barb Tales, Rob Baker explains his fascination with the people and the culture of Mali, where he worked as a musician, learning the unique features of their music. He tells Bridget Leslie he enjoyed this African country because it was not only different from his native UK, but also quite distinct from other African nations.
Rob, good to chat to you.
Thank you. It's really great to be here.
How did you end up in Mali?
Well, that's a long story, really. To give you the abridged version, I studied French and music at university, which allowed me to go and live in a country called Reunion Island, which is in the Indian Ocean between Mauritius and Madagascar. That gave me a taste for tropical living and really for adventure. I've always had a sense of adventure. And so once I'd done my year in Reunion Island, I just had the taste for more travel, went to other African countries. And then Mali came up on the radar because its music is so incredibly fascinating. And as a country, it's unique. It's so different from, you know, other African countries that there was just a real draw to go there. Because it was such a fascinating place to work, especially as a musician.
And why did you find Mali music fascinating?
So, African music is very vibrant wherever you go, but every country and even every ethnic group within that country makes music differently. What I appreciated in Mali was, well, I suppose I could boil it down to two main factors. One is they have what are called griots, G-R-I-O-T, griot. And they're like sort of, they inherit the title of griot, which means they sing at weddings and at festivals and in the streets. And they're highly accomplished musicians that are greatly prized in society. And they so the griots really bring the music to life, and you hear them wherever you go, and they're really serious about their music, and they do it professionally. It's not just a little pastime, it's actually who they are and what they are. And also the predominance of stringed instruments, because most African countries I've visited, and I've been to 14 African countries now, and most of them, drums are the number one, and you get lots of drums, lots of vocals, and maybe the occasional flute or stringed instrument. In Mali, they have a 21 stringed harp known as the kora, which is a truly beautiful instrument, K-O-R-A, the kora. And I actually learned the kora with the world's most famous kora player called Toumani Diabaté, which was a real privilege. So, yeah, Mali is unique in those respects and many others.
And you actually wrote a book about your time there in Mali. Tell us about that.
Okay, so Toubab Tales, T-O-U-B-A-B. Toubab is what they call any Westerner who's visiting Mali. So when I was thinking about a title of the book, I realised that every day almost I was walking down the street and the African children would be shouting, Toubab, Toubab at me, which is not in any way an impolite thing. It's just what they do. You know, and I realised Toubab Tales was a good title. And that's describing my life in Mali, which finished with the military coup of 2012. Now, if you've heard anything in the news lately, there's just been another coup in Mali just about a week ago, and it was very similar to that. So the book is, it celebrates the music and culture of Mali as I travel around. And what I'm trying to show is the good side of African life as well, because all too often when you see Africa in the media, on movies, they talk about, you know, civil war or AIDS or, you know, child trafficking, all the bad news. Whereas in this book, in Toubab Tales, I'm talking about how amazing the musicians are, how fantastic the people are, and how truly fascinating and enriching it is to travel the length and breadth of this incredible country in search of music and finding out about the people. So that's what I did in Toubab Tales. And the last few chapters do describe my family and I living through the military coup of 2012 and all that entailed, the good and the bad.
And we'll get to politics in a minute, but just sticking on the first few months of your move there, I read some of the chapters of your book already. You describe Bamako, the place you first lived when you moved to Mali. How was the transition for the kids?
The transition for the kids, I very, very much believe that the children pick up what the parents' attitude is like. And now my wife and I had met in Ivory Coast back in the 90s, way back in the 90s. And then we'd also lived as a whole family in Benin in West Africa for 4 years. So when it came to Mali, Lois and I were very enthusiastic about going to Africa. We were looking forward to it. And we'd be saying to our children, oh, when we go to Mali, we'll see this, we'll do this. So actually, my children were very positive about going, and the transition was fairly smooth. Having said that, there were quite a lot of things went wrong, as you found in the early chapters. So my daughter had a bad tooth. We went to a dentist, but it was not a good dentist because they're quite hard to find. And so she ended up nearly losing a tooth. You know, I had malaria, and there were quite a lot of things went wrong in those initial stages. So I think the culture shock when you go anywhere new is quite real and needs to be recognized. And it does take a few months to really settle in and get used to the climate, the different diet, the different way of driving, living, greeting people. You know, you probably learn, you know, a couple of thousand new words of vocabulary within a matter of days when you think about it, when you arrive somewhere new. So it's a big change, you know, so it did take a while, but our kids responded resiliently to it because of our attitude to Africa and because of their previous experience in Africa as well.
And you mentioned culture there. How would you describe the food, travel, people, culture in Mali?
Whoa, how long have you got? I could spend I could spend all day talking about each one of those. I mean, food-wise, don't get too excited, let's say. You know, I mean, the Malian food has always been very functional because as a country that has struggled with poverty for centuries, they don't do luxury food that we know in the West. You know, it's quite functional. So you have goat and sauce and rice, or you'll have fish, which is, of course, very common because the Niger River runs all the way through the country. And you'll very often just have it with rice or, you know, something else a bit like rice, you know, sweet potato or something, or yams. Yams are very common. And then you'll most commonly eat it in the village. You'll eat it with your hand from a communal bowl, which again is a new experience. In terms of the culture in general, Mali is about 90% Islamic, yet it's very tolerant. It's very tolerant. So I was there, I'm a Christian, and I was there as a Christian. It was very tolerant of my faith, and there was no kind of threats or any kind of fear there. And other religions were allowed to flourish. So there were churches, there was African traditional religion, you know, and there were other religions as well being freely practicing. So it's a very tolerant country, and the people do like to chat, and they've also got a really great sense of humour. And whenever you meet your taxi driver, you'll chat away, you know, and they'll engage in lively banter. And that's part of the culture. You know, something we do a little bit in England, you know, they say in Britain, if you like somebody, you'll mock them, you know, jauntily. And it's a bit like that, that they will just do all these jokes. And it's it keeps the culture coherent, actually. It doesn't drive people apart. It brings them together, which is amazing. So, yeah, there's so much I could tell you, because it's a very dry country, very dry indeed. We would have 10% humidity. And the hottest temperature recorded in Mali was 52 Celsius, which is, you know, I don't know if you get that in parts of Australia, but that's pretty warm.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah. So you're used to those sort of temps. Mm-hmm. But it's very warm and you have to drink lots of water, don't you? So it was very exciting, but very, very different from the home counties of England.
Bridget Leslie was speaking with musician and author Rob Baker of Two Barb Tales.